Now for some opening thoughts and meditations here. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Maybe for a few comments before I start reading here, my thoughts have been going a lot. I guess several different incidences just this week made me think again about these things. A lot of us local here are familiar with this woman that was driving down the road and earlier this week and apparently got on some icy roads and ended up upside down with her vehicle in the Wabash River, and from there was whisked away into eternity. She was just a few months older than I am, as near as I could tell, and healthy, probably had no clue that she was facing the end of the world that morning when she got up. And so that's what my few thoughts are going to be about this morning is the end of the world. As I talk about this, this is not a fun thing to talk about, and I realize that. But when I was growing up, I don't think I ever went to church that I didn't hear about the end of the world. And, you know, I think it was overbalanced. It was because of the setting that we were in. It was knowing a lot of truth, but not knowing how to apply it. And so there's this thing, we know the end of the world is coming, so what do we do about it? We preach it at the people. And since I've been converted, I'm not too sure that I've ever heard a message about the end of the world. And so I'm just going to share a few thoughts here and make us aware, not so much to put fear into us, but also to put hope into us. It's our redemption draweth nigh. But also, We get into contact with people almost daily, or at least a lot of times we get into contact with people. And so how do we answer? How do we answer? You know, the end of the world is imminent. It is coming. And it might be the end of all time, might be 30 years out there. It might be 30 days, or it might be 60 years. You know, we don't know. But the end of the world is when we take our last breath, is when the end of the world will be for each and every one of us that's in here. And so with some of those thoughts in mind, let's read a few verses here in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I'm going to pause there to make a few remarks. And that verse right there is a burden of mine. Even as I talk with Christians nowadays, most Christians, I mean even our people, a lot of them, are not looking for the end of the world anytime soon. And that burdens me, quite honestly. You know, of all the things that we read about, that the prophecies, you know, it still seems like a lot of things have to go in effect before the end of the world can be here. But two things. Number one, we don't know when the end of the world will be for us, just like that woman in the Wabash River. In the blink of an eye, bystander saw her pounding on the window. She couldn't get out. Just minutes close to the end of the world. The other thing is, all of God's people that were God's people, when Jesus came to the earth the first time, no one was looking for him. And no one recognized the time. So do we think we're smarter than they were back then? So I'm just saying these things. I think that we should not too much be looking into at prophecy and saying it's out a long ways. It might be out 100 years. I don't know. But for me, I think Peter is saying here, where is the promise of the coming? For since the Father's fellowship, all things continue as it were from the beginning of the creation. And they are. They're continuing on. We see everything getting more wicked. And yet, as we look around, we also know they were really wicked when the first Christians, when the first churches were started in Jerusalem. The things the Christian faced in those early times were just tremendous. Some of the things that that were already going on back then. So, but we do know it's getting more wicked. It's getting more dark. So let's read some more here. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. That's as far as we're going to read there. That's just some good exhortation from Peter there about the way some of the things are happening. I'd like to turn to Matthew 13 now, and for me, I really am blessed with the way that Jesus taught us on a lot of these things. Matthew 13. We're going to start reading in verse 36. Matthew 13. Jesus is giving a lot of parables here to the disciples, to the multitude. Actually, there's a big multitude here that he's talking to. And he's giving them a lot of parables. And they're not understanding all these parables at all. And so they're asking for an explanation here. And we're going to start reading in verse 36. So verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Jesus talked a lot about the end of the world, and I think that we need. He didn't just talk about it to scare the people, but it's a reality. But it was also he's talking to his apostles right now. He's talking to the disciples right now, and he's telling them about these things that will happen before the end of the world and at the end of the world. See, where did I stop reading? Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Now listen, we're aware of the two kingdoms here, right? We're aware of the kingdoms of this world. We're aware of the kingdom of God. Here he said, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. So being born again is good, it's just, it's right, it's our entrance. Just like Brother Aiden shared up here last Sunday when he moderated. But it's not the end, it's the beginning. 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a son in the kingdom of their father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. The end of the world isn't something scary for someone who is following Jesus, who's following, forsaking all and following him. It says, the righteous shall shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their father. Verse 44, well, we're going to skip a few verses here. He gives them a couple more parables. We'll go down to verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. And so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. And now I'd like to look at, there's so many things that talk about the end of the world. I'm just going to try to pick out a few here. We're going to have to skip most of it. Let's turn to Luke. Let's get a few verses there in Luke. Luke chapter 21. We find, as we read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that all three of them record this same incident when Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem approximately 6 days before his crucifixion, is when he made his entry into Jerusalem. And then, I don't know, it was 3-4 days after this, he comes out of the temple one time and his disciples want him to notice how this temple is made. And they say, look at these stones, you know, how beautiful and how it's made. And Jesus turns to them and says these words. He says, there's a time coming when not one stone will be upon the other that shall not be broken. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem there. But then he says, in all three Gospels record this, he says, and to take heed that ye be not deceived. And they say it in a little different way. We're going to start reading here in verse 7, Luke 21, verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. And that's a warning for us this morning as we strive to walk the straight and narrow road, as we strive to be among the children of God and to put off the world. We need to take heed that we're not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. The end is not coming for a while yet. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, we could say in many places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. And then, as he goes on to in the next 5 or 6 verses, he's talking a lot about the persecution of the early church, and that can come all the way unto us. Then he goes on into talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and I'm going to skip on down to 25, I think. There he's talking again about the end times, the times that we're living in presently. And in verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And I think we could make some remarks or some, I think that has some deeper meaning there than what we might see, but I'm not going to take time to talk about it now. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We have a great and mighty God, and we see that. There's never before in history been two hurricanes that have touched the United States in the same Category 4 hurricanes that have touched land in the same year. You know, the powers of heaven are being shaken. And, you know, we're just seeing little glimpses of his great power. There's always more and more, and he's giving us more and more opportunity to be those things he talks about in Matthew 25. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me water. Those things he's giving us as his children, more and more opportunities to be his hands and his feet. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Take heart, brothers and sisters, our redemption is drawing nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and you know of your own self that summer is now nigh at hand. And when we see springtime, when the trees are shooting forth their buds, you know, we take great joy after the long winter. Soon it's going to be warm and everything's going to turn green. And we see it as the buds start shooting forth. And he says we should have the same thing here. When we see these things coming to pass, so likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And these last few verses here, I really want us to take, these are really for me, they're for all of us, I'll have to say. 34, and take heed to yourself, lest at any time, he's telling us as his children, take heed to ourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, that could be with drink, with eating and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. We need to be looking for that day every day. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I'd like to read that verse 36 as it's written in the Tyndale's. It's a different, it's a translation before the King James. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may obtain grace to fly all this that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I kind of like that. That you may obtain grace to fly all this that shall come to pass. We don't need to be cumbered upon this earth. Just the last night, a lady stopped in that we'd bought in a Jersey cow from a year and a half ago, and she was in the area, and she stopped in to see if the cow had her calf, because the cow was supposed to have a calf when we bought her. And so she wanted to look at the calf, and we showed her the calf, and we had a neighbor, his name was Bud Sell, and we'd known him for most of my life, I'd known him. Well, he passed away about several months ago, and he had more things on his property than I can fathom. His sons have been hauling truckloads of steel and machinery out of there for 2 months now. I mean, almost every day we see truckloads go by. The Amish guy that bought my brother Joe's property also bought his property. He put it up for sale because he was getting old and poor in health. He was 83 or 84 years old, getting poor in health. So he thought he had to sell. So he sold, and just the day after he made the closing on his property, the way I understood it is when he passed away. And this lady shared with me, she'd known this man pretty good, she shared with me that's what killed him is selling his property. And it was just so hard on him. And I was seeking for words to say, and right when I had the words to say, she changed the subject on me, and so I didn't get him said. But, you know, I think that was the truth, in a sense. His heart was so attached to these worldly things, to these earthly things, that once he sold his property, it was just, and, you know, This is real here. We need to take heed that we don't get as we make a living and God blesses us with many things to do and with an income and we use that to help these needy people. We need to watch so our hearts don't become attached to these earthly things. I think I need to read yet in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just something a little bit to balance this out here. Not necessarily balance it out, but just to bring in a closing on this these thoughts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 1. This is very familiar scripture, but just... But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He's saying the same thing here that Peter said. For when they shall say peace and safety, and sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But what I want to get here is the next few verses here. Brothers and sisters, get these verses here. We don't need to be afraid. It says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. It's going to come as a snare, like Jesus said, upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. But if our hearts are not on this earth, we're ready to fly, that we can fly in the face of this. Ye all are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's as far as I'm going to read. I think that's all that I need to share this morning. Thank you for listening. God bless you.